Proverbs chapter 3, just two verses tonight. We'll look at again. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Now, last time we looked at how God can really richly bless his children. You remember that when we were in the previous two verses? That we can honor the Lord and he will begin to increase our lives. Verse 10, look what he does to his children. God can fill our barns with plenty. And God is able to make our presses burst out with new wine. He can cause our substance to increase. The Lord delights in blessing his children. He really does. But with those two verses of blessing, a father blessing his children, the next two verses are about the father correcting his children. And you can't have a good father without both of those. A good father is not that if he does not seek the blessing and help of his children and the correction of his children. And God our Father certainly does both of those. Now the Spirit of God takes verses 11 and 12, Old Testament truth, and applies it to New Testament people in Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll see that chapter before we get there. It's a quote actually of this text. But before we continue, hold your finger right there. Go all the way back to the law, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because as we get into the middle of the book of Proverbs, it's going to talk quite a lot about correcting our children. And really all that is an example or a picture of how God our Father is working in our lives to correct us. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 5, Deuteronomy 8 verse 5, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart," not just in your head, but God says, I want you to think about this from your heart. "Consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." Now think about that just a moment. If fathers do not chasten their children, then we do not have a picture of how God is dealing with us in our lives. And certainly, if fathers do not chasten their children, then children as they grow up probably would look at God in a very wrong light. Because they never learned the lesson of God's work in their heart through their own family, through their own father. And we're going to see why God chastens us and the reason for all that. But he doesn't do that to harm us. And good fathers always correct their children. If you have a father that doesn't correct you, then you have one that doesn't love you. And actually, you have one that is perverted, either one or the other. Either they're perverted to the point they don't want to correct anything, or they just don't care about you to correct you. Now look at our text again back in Proverbs 3. He says in verse 11, "My son, despise not thou, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So the first reason, what is the reason for chastening? What is the reason for correction? This should be the reason in our family relationships. I'm not really dealing with that as much as dealing with God's reasoning for correcting and chastening us. And God does chasten you. God corrects you. Now, a lot of Christians never perceive that. They're not close enough to God to even understand what he's doing in their life. But all of us get corrected by God. Matter of fact, we'll see that in a minute. If you don't get corrected by God, if you don't get chastened by God, you don't even belong to him. You're not in his family. But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He's going to correct every one of those children that he delights in. So the reason for correction is love. It's love. The reason for chastening is love. So, hold your finger there. Look at chapter 13. So here's a verse that modern America will not believe. Okay? Proverbs chapter 13. They don't believe this about human relationships, and they don't believe about God's relationship. They do not understand that judgment has a form of love in it. They do not understand that correction and chastening has love in it, because the world's definition of love is just give people what they want. That's not love. That's abuse. If you give someone everything they want, you will ruin their lives. You don't love them, you love you. Let's read the verse. Proverbs 13. This is the word of God, okay? This is not my opinion. This is not Baptist opinion. This is scripture. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod, what's that next word? Hateth his son. But he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. Now, what's betimes? Yeah. If you ever got chastened, you know what betimes is. It's not one lick. It's continuous. It's over and over again. Now, the world does not believe the verse I just read. That's why, you know, society is so anti-God and anti-Bible, because they've come up with a philosophy. They've come up with opinions that are so outside of God's truth. And they would say, our society today would say, if you correct your son with a rod, look at it, he that spareth his rod. Now, you know, if you lived as a child 50 years ago, that would be different, but not today. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. That's strong. It did not just say, if you spare the rod, you don't love them like you should. It says, if you spare the rod, that's if you don't correct, if you don't chasten, if you don't discipline the children, then you hate that child. The world has it the other way around. They say, if you discipline the child, if you apply corporal punishment, then you are abusive. But you know what is abusive? I'll tell you what abusive is. Watching all the lives of these young people today ruin their minds, ruin their bodies, ruin their future, because they never learned a lesson that there is a consequence for evil behavior. That's the abuse. And so society turns it all around. So I say that not to get into child training, because that's down the road in the book, but why does God correct you? He loves you. And you know what? I tell you what, that rod doesn't feel good. And if it does, then it's not applied correctly. The chastening, the correction hurts. That's the purpose. The intent is to hurt so it will help in the long run, so it will change the behavior. I tell you what, God Almighty sometimes will touch your life and it'll hurt. But he's not doing that because he despises you or he wants to destroy you. If you're his child, he's hurting you or touching your life or causing some pain in your life to turn your life into a good path, into a godly path, into a joyful path, to save you from the heartaches and the ruin and the long nights. He does it to help you. So what is the reason for the chastening? Is it so God can just get back at us because we did wrong? No. He really, really loves you. And so he's going to correct you. I'd say this. You can even extend that to preaching. You know, the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What else does he say? For reproof. What else does he say? For correction. Now, you know what we have today? We have religious activities where no preacher ever gets up and corrects people. Now look, the Bible is meant to correct us. Now, how unwise would we be to think we need no correction? We all need correction. That's why the Bible is the boss, you see. The Bible's good for the preacher. The Bible's good for the deacon, the Sunday school teacher. The Bible's good for everybody. Amen. We're all to be submitted, and it wants to correct every one of us because God loves us. The truth is our friend. But today, people don't want to be corrected. You know why? Because number one, they never were brought up right. They were brought up in a society where nobody ever corrected them, so they don't want to go to a church where they ever get corrected. I'm telling you what, this is good preaching right here. And I don't even mean to preach, I mean to teach. God's love equals correction. The love of the Bible and the love of the truth will correct you. Don't try to remove yourself from the correction. Embrace the love of God, that He would love you that much to even put a harmonious relationship in danger. You know why people don't want to correct people? Because there's the potential that somebody's going to get upset, and then we'll lose out on this good fellowship we have. You know what? God's not like that. God doesn't want to lose fellowship with you, but the truth is, if He doesn't correct the sin in our lives, we have no fellowship with Him. So He loves us enough to correct us. And I'm telling you, things happen in our life not for an accident, but many times to get our attention, not out of God wanting to beat us up, but help our lives. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now, either if that's not true, John 3:16 is not true. And you're not doing your kids any favor by not correcting them. Matter of fact, I'll just say it. If you don't correct your children, you hate them. That's what the Bible says. And later in life, they'll know that, and you'll know that. So, and God's not a bad parent. God's a good parent. Now, if you're saved here, if you're saved in this building, you're a child of God. He is not going to fail to correct you. Now, you may never learn the lesson. You may not appreciate it. You may not give into these verses that tell you not to despise it. But He's not going to fail to do His job. He is a good father. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And He loves you too much to let you touch the stovetop. He loves you too much to let you just randomly destroy your life. So He'll start touching your life in different areas. So the reason for chastening, the reason for correction is love. And it's also help. He wants to help you. Look at chapter 19. Proverbs 19. We'll just read some verses real quick here. Proverbs 19. He wants to help you. Proverbs 19 verse 18. Look at this now. And I'm trying not to get into child training because I won't really keep this on God. God's training in our lives, but apply it there. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is what? Well, there's hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know what happens? You know, a lot of times God starts touching our lives, we start squalling. But you know what He's not going to do? He's not going to stop His work in your life because you squall. He loves you too much. He wants you to learn the lesson. And there's a day when the chastening will not help you anymore. Chasten thy son while there is hope. There is a day where child training and chastening in disciplinary sense will not help anymore. Now, I'm saying that prayer can't help. I'm saying God can't help. But the chastening days, the discipline days, run out in a certain time frame with a child. And God knows this. God sometimes pours the medicine on thick because He knows if you get too far out there, it's going to be real hard to get you back in the right way. So sometimes He lays it on pretty strong to help you while there's still hope to help you. Look at chapter 22, Proverbs 22. Don't get mad at God when things go bad in our lives. I mean, sometimes it just makes more like the Lord, but that's what chasing is anyway. He's just trying to make you more like Jesus. That's the best for you. Proverbs 22:15, watch this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of what? Of correction. It's not the rod of hatred or the rod of frustration. I told you now. Where is it? No, it's not the rod of frustration. It's the rod of correction. The rod of correction, the Bible says, will drive it far from him. Drive what? Foolishness. You know what's ironic? What did we just preach on Sunday night about all these weird things going on? And what final verse did I go to from the words and the lips of Jesus Christ that he said was evil? Foolishness. What? How can people be saved from all this foolishness? I mean, stuff that's so foolish you can't even find a Bible verse for it. You can't find a Bible verse for people cutting off their noses. You can find a demon possessed, the devil possessed dude cutting himself, but even that dude wasn't cutting his nose off. How do we save a culture from foolishness? You can't without the rod of correction. There probably has never been a generation of Americans that haven't been spanked like this generation. Can I just say that without going to prison? Right now, but later on it may be different. I remember I said something to one guy when I was joking with him, a preacher friend, actually was a missionary. And I said, oh, and I made sort of a, I was in my 20s, so you know you're allowed to say stupid things when you're 20. And I said something, oh, you must be from this place. And that guy got mad at me. He looked at me. He was a friend of mine, but he got mad at me for saying what I said. I was associating him with something. I said, well, because you said that, you must be from here. And I won't repeat what I said, but he looked at me and he said, oh, were you spanked as a child? You must not have been spanked. I mean, he was just tit for tat, you know. He was just trying to get back at me. But you know what he was saying? He was saying, you can tell, I was telling him I could tell a lot by him about the comment he made. And he was saying, tongue in cheek, he could tell a lot about me. He said, have you ever been disciplined? You ever been spanked as a child? Of course, I've been spanked quite a lot as a child. Amen. That little woman over there had a good, good, good swing. Now watch it, watch it. There is no accident of the correlation of our devil-possessed, seducing spirit society and the absence of child training. And the misunderstanding of what love is. And the hopelessness of our society and the foolishness of our society. We're talking about wisdom for life, and all you have to do to understand the handwriting on the wall of our generation is just read the Bible. So this is not people loving children. Oh, today they almost worship children, but they don't love them. They love themselves. If they love them, they would correct them. He said in chapter 23, that gets the foolishness out of them. Well, you know what? You know what, guys? Every one of us have some foolishness in us. So you know what God's going to try to do? He's going to work on you. He's going to work on me to try to get the foolishness out. And that takes a rod sometimes from God. Proverbs chapter 23, the Bible says in verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. Oh, this is the terrible, hated King James Bible. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Yeah, I know why they don't like the King James Bible. It's just too honest. Thou shalt give him a time out. You know, God didn't give us time outs. I tell you one thing. You know what happens in your life sometimes? You could raise your hand up to the sky and say, God, why are you beating on me? And you know what the answer would be? I'm trying to deliver you from something. And oh, the beating's not a blessing while it's happening, but the deliverance sure is a blessing. Now say this. You know what God's not going to do? He's not going to enable our wickedness if we're his children. Let me explain what I just mean by that. You know what the worst thing to do if you have somebody that you really love that has a drug addiction? Keep bailing them out of every problem. Are you listening to me? Now, I know that's hard medicine. But tough love, when someone is ruining their life, you don't just keep bailing them out of trouble.
They've got to hit the skids to see they need help from God. And God doesn't bail us out of trouble in our lives when He's trying to correct us and work in our hearts. He doesn't make all the bad stuff go away. He loves us too much. He's not going to enable our wickedness.
If I have a child in my home that's going against God, I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to weep over them. I'm going to talk to them. But I'm not going to fund their wickedness. I don't love them if I do that. Well, I just care about it. I do too. But enabling them to continue in that wrong lifestyle is not love. That's not love. It may make you feel better, but it ain't going to help anything. Now, that's the reason. The reason for chastening is love. It's help. Now, what's our response? Go back to chapter 3. There are three possible responses. Two are in these verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." So you can do one of two things in a negative way to God's correction. You can despise it, or you can get weary at it. In other words, you can get hardened and mad at God because of what He's doing in your life. Or you can get weary about what He's doing in your life and faint and give up and be despondent. So there's two bad responses to God's chasing our lives. It's despising and being weary. And both are very, very different. It's like a child when they receive correction or chastening and discipline, it can just make them mad to where they hate their daddy. Right? Even if it was done in love. Or you can have a child that gets chastened and corrected, and instead of the despising coming at them, they can get weary. And they get despondent. They just don't even try to do right, or just give up and say, "What's the use?" And I'm telling you, those are the two same negative responses that can happen in the life of a child of God. You may not verbalize it that way, but you can get mad at God. You can despise His working in your life. You can get hard against God. And you can also get weary with God. Hebrews says, "Nor faint." He's liking this weariness unto fainting, just giving up. Proverbs 15:10 says, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. He that hateth reproof shall die." In other words, somebody that the correction of God is grievous to them is somebody that's trying to go the wrong way. Anyone will despise the correction of a father if they're not willing to go the way of the Father's will. And God's trying to do in our lives is get us submissive to His will and not despise what He's doing in our lives. The Bible says in Jeremiah 7:28, this nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord, and He also says, nor receiveth correction. The children of Israel got to a place where they wouldn't let God correct them. And they just forgot God. They just forsook God. Because they would not obey Him. They would not listen. God just put them through the ringer as a nation. And they said, we're not going to be corrected. I tell you what, when God starts correcting this nation, it's going to be... You know, all God would have to do would destroy all the toys. If you destroyed all the toys in our society, people would go insane. You wouldn't even have to have a famine. Just blot out electricity for about a year. People would kill each other. They're so spoiled. They're so used to getting their way. And I'm telling you, when God starts chastening and correcting, He didn't let you have your way. Because He's trying to get a right response out of your life. You know, Ezra said that God punished them less than their iniquities deserve. You know, the right attitude is not despising correction or chastening. It's not being weary or fainting or being despondent at God's correction. The right attitude is just to be grateful that God loves you enough. Because you really know you deserve a whole lot more than you're getting. You know what he said in Psalm 141, verse 5? He said, let the righteous smite me. Listen, he said, it'll be a kindness. Now, who's more righteous than God? Nobody. Lord, if you smite me, I know it. I needed it. And I know you did it a lot easier than really someone that hated me would. And so, Lord, it's a kindness if you correct me. The worst thing in life would be living a wicked, sinful life and God not paying any mind and not caring. And just letting you go on your merry little way. And the one that despises that chastening is the proud heart. And let me say this, God's not trying to break our heads with correction and chastening. He's just trying to wound our pride. He's trying to get our hearts submissive to His will. And I'd say this, if you don't care if your father smiles or frowns at you, you're depraved. I mean, I don't care what God did. If I please God or if I make God mad, if He's smiling or frowning at me, I don't care. I'm living my life. You are depraved. Your heart is sick. Because any good child wants to please their father. That's what the book's, that's what so much of the book's about in these relationships. And God, I want to please God who is my Father. And if He frowns, that hurts me. And if He smiles, that pleases me. And one that will not receive correction doesn't care about that. Our response should not be despising or being weary. Our response should be reverence and reception of His correction with thankfulness. And it should be a reminder that we belong to Him and He cares for us. That's the reason, the response. Can't believe I'm going to put the alliteration on it. But the result. He said at the end of verse 12, even as the Father, the Son in whom He delighteth. Delight comes at the end of correction. Look at Job. I'll just read three verses. We'll be finished. Job chapter 5. Get Job chapter 5. And with your other hand, get Proverbs 29. What is the result of correction? It's good. The result of not being chastened is awful. Job chapter 5 and then Proverbs chapter 29. He says these people that get chastened and corrected, there's delight. It's a good result. Job chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 17. Look at it. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. You say, man, Job really went through it through his life. Yeah, but at the end he was happy. He had twice as much as he ever had before. He got his name in a book for people to read about his life for 3,500 years now. You could do worse. You know, I bet all in heaven that we're all going to be going, you're Job? Man, I've read about you all my life. Man, your story was so inspiring. And I bet Job will look at you and say, I wish I had never had to go through that. Yeah, right. Oh, it's delight. Happy is the man. And you know who's not happy? You know who the most miserable people are in the world? People that never get corrected. People that never get chastened. People that never get disciplined. A child that is left to himself not only brings his mother to shame, a child that's left to himself and never gets the rod of correction applied to the seat of learning is the most miserable child in the world. You can see him in the shopping lines. Next time you go through a shopping line and you see the child from hell just going out crazy, just look at the mother and say, I guess you don't spank. And you watch the look. I love my child. I can tell. It really loves you too. I mean, kids beating on their parents. Cursing them. What a happy life. Well, it's just hard to be consistent and disciplined and love. And yeah, but God does that with you. He loves you that much. And he does that because he knows it'll make you happy. The happiest place in the world is in the will of God. You know why some people? There are probably people right here in this building tonight. You're never going to be happy because you just won't get in the will of God. And it doesn't matter what you do. You're never going to be happy. And God's going to make sure of it. I said, God's going to make sure you'll never be happy. I've looked at people before, and I've read the handwriting on the wall in their lives. I said, I'll tell you, you're going this way, but you're never going to be happy. If you're a born-again Christian, God will not let you be happy. You will be miserable until you get in his will. And you can fight it all you want to. It ain't going to work. And you can keep coming back around and trying to change something to make yourself happy, but until you get in the Father's will, sorry, no happiness. Proverbs 29, I got two more places to read, and we're going home. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Not only will it make you happy, it'll make the father happy. Proverbs 29, 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee what? Rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You know what? The most satisfied parents are parents that have children that are obedient because they put the correction in their life, and they just delight in their children. And the people that are most miserable with their children are children that they never corrected, and so they never get to the happiness. Now put that with God. You know one of the great things about chastening? If I listen to God, if I respond to God's correction and chastening, it'll not only bring happiness in my life, it'll bring delight to the Father. He'll be pleased. He will rejoice. Let's finish with Hebrews chapter 12, where that really quotes our text in the book of Proverbs, putting that Old Testament truth for New Testament people. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, if we had to go to preach just a message on chastening, we really would do it here, but we're in Proverbs, so we'll just read these verses together. But Hebrews chapter 12 talks about what God does in your life as a Christian. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 5, which quotes Proverbs. Hebrews 12, 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth, look at this, every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, that is, you don't despise it, you don't get weary of it, you learn from it. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. He's saying this. Somebody said, well, I do this, that, and the other, and I don't feel bad about it. That's because you're not saved. God the Father doesn't whip the devil's children. And I've told people before, if you can do that, and you're never bothered about it, and you're never corrected about it, you need to get saved. I don't care what you say about yourself. Every child of God gets corrected by the Father. Every child of God gets chastened by the Father. He will not let you live your life going 5,000 miles out of his will without jerking your chain. It's part of being saved. Preacher, you say you think people that are saved can do all kind of wicked things? Oh, I know they can. But the difference is they don't get by with it. And they can't do it and be happy about it. Not continuously, because they get chastened for it. He scourgeth every... Now, look, you know, don't make it hard on yourself. When God starts whipping you, get with it. Because guess what? If you turn around quick, if you repent fast, thank God for that. He didn't just say, well, I'm just going to give you about 5,000 more for good measure. God's just trying to get you in his will. Why make it hard on yourself? So he continued, and that's the story of Hebrews 12. He speaks to us, he rebukes us, then he scourges us. That's really painful. And then he says down there, shall we not, in verse 9, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? He can take your life, but he's not going to let you keep living your life totally out of his will. But the severity of the correction and chastening is dependent on how you respond to it. And remember, he does this because he loves you. He's trying to help you. And I don't know how he does it in your life, and I don't know what's going to happen in your life down the road. But when God gets out the strap, just start repenting, man. Get right with God. That's the lesson. Why let it get any worse? Verse 9, furthermore, we have had father, I'm Hebrews 12, about finished. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit. What is the result of chastening? It's your profit. He for our profit. Look at it. That we might be partakers of his what? The chastening and correction of God. The result is he makes you holy. He makes you like himself. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's going to result in righteousness. It's going to result in peace. It's going to result in the fruit of God in your life. It's going to result in holiness. It's going to result in your profit. It's going to result in your happiness. When God corrects us and chastens us, the result is wonderful if we respond correctly. So, be really quick to let God have his way with you in chastening, because he not only fills his children's barns up with plenty, he also brings some pain into our lives when we're going the wrong way. And that's a good father.